So, and please be relaxed. Don't worry. I'm preaching now, and then I'm going to be praying, and we're going to be ministering to. This is a mantles conference. So I'm going to pray for a mantle for everybody that is here.
Come on.
For the anointing to operate. And for those that are online, we'll pray for them. But for the anointing to operate, you know, there's realms of the anointing. But the presence of God, the Bible says, my presence will go with you and shall give you rest. Give me that scripture. My presence shall go with you and will give you rest. Say with me, rest.
Rest.
Sometimes when you minister, there must be a realm. Like I said, Pastor Morton, you know, Pastor Morton, Pastor Chris, I understand they're screaming, they're young. When I say young, they're very, very young in the spirit when it comes to me. So they're young. But they fire. I want to talk in a realm of rest so that so that you can relax and that the glory can and will go as it flows. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I'll leave them up with the energy because I'm sitting with all the responsibility of church closing or this or trying to get $2.5 million a month. You know, paying for the United States. I'm joking. Listen to this. And he said, everybody say with me, say, my presence will go with you.
Will go with you.
And I will give you, say with me, rest.
Rest.
Where God's presence is, you'll be given rest.
Oh, yes.
Which means that when there's anxiety, God's presence has been lifted.
Come on.
Where there's worry all the time, it means God's presence has shifted or has been lifted.
That's right.
Where His presence is, He'll give you rest.
Yes.
That it doesn't matter what is happening in the nation or what the news wants to put in negativity. What you must find the presence of God, where it'll be a zone and a realm of rest
Come
upon
on.
You. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
When the glory comes in, even in a church building, when we pray for people, it operates in a realm of rest. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So say with me, a mantle.
A mantle.
Now, I don't know where we were. I said the church has to stand up for what is going to come. Mantles will be poured out, but the church will have to stand up for revival and for the nation to change. South Africa is bad, but the United States is also bad. In fact, racism is very big in the United States right now.
That's right.
Very big. And, you know, it's times and things that has to come and has to be like this. But the church cannot fall for that. And how we get through this is by coming together, getting into the rest of God, getting His presence upon us, and getting the anointing upon us to do a certain task.
Yes.
Say with you, a mantle. A mantle is given to you to fulfill a certain assignment. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has given me an assignment to fulfill.
That's
Are you
right.
guys with me?
Yes.
So, I want to get into this. I want to get into this thing with the mantles. Say with me, familiarity.
Familiarity.
And I would like to come down and walk and minister, but because of our viewers, I'm just going to stay up here for now. And then afterwards, we're going to come down and minister to you.
Yes.
Say with me, familiarity.
Familiarity.
And I'm speaking about mantles. The whole week we're going to be talking about mantles. I told Pastor Vlad he can minister on what he wants. For anybody that is on here right now, that are pastors or ministers, you can go to pastors.co.za and sign up for our MLC, Ministers Leaders Conference, that's happening Thursday. It's going to be very special. And, you know, I have had so many pastors that came to us asking for help. Some churches have closed. People are weeping. They don't know what to do. Many pastors committed suicide.
That's right.
Because people are like, a pastor carries the physical pressure plus a spiritual pressure.
Yes.
Any psychologist will tell you that they're just carrying the psyche pressure. But a pastor has to carry the psychological, the spiritual pressure.
That's
of
right.
people as well.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
You know how bad it feels if you have people asking you money every single day. When I say every single day, I would say maybe more than 10 or 15 times a day. What do you do? Who do you say yes to and who do you say no to? You know, and those things gets to a person. Say with you, familiarity.
Familiarity.
Look, I want to get into this thing with mantles. God places a mantle in a city or a region. And I said that this morning, if the lockdown hasn't taken place, Krugersdorp, we would have taken over Krugersdorp by
yes.
now.
Yes.
It would have been done. In fact, by February, this place was packed already.
That's right.
So it's just a matter of time.
Yes.
And the devil hated it. Before we came into the city, I even had pastors telling me they'll stop me, forbid me from coming in here.
That's right.
The one up the road here. I love him. You know, he must just still get some, what do you call it? Let me not say what you call it. A gravitas. What do they say? What is that? Hey? Okay. Because they don't call me. They don't call me. They'll call our receptionist and swear at them. And you're a pastor or a man of God. You see, when a mantle or a grace comes into a city or into somewhere, it will always threaten those who are less on fire. And it'll excite those who are more on fire. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Anybody that is higher than you will always celebrate your victory.
That's right.
Anybody that is lower than you will try to bring down your victory.
That's right.
And bring you down to their level.
Yes.
It is only in South Africa where if you just let your friends or anybody know you have a little bit of money, they will pull you down.
That's right, yes.
So you see a bloodshed of ministers and ministry right now throughout South Africa. It'll be all over the papers, newspapers, everywhere. Simply because of one thing in this nation, jealousy and racism.
Yes.
And racism is not only black and white. Racism is spiritually. Racism is culturally. Racism is even between Afrikaans and English. It's a segregated spirit. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
It's a spirit of racism. It is a spirit that is saying, I discriminate or I think I am better based on certain qualities. Whether it's my skin color, whether it's the language that I'm talking, whether it is what country I'm coming from, or what tribe I'm being born from.
That's right.
It is a spirit of racism.
Yes.
And I'm preaching this stuff so that we can get the attention of the nation this week and mantles can fall.
That's right.
Mantles. God sends a mantle into a city,
yes,
into a region, to bring a solution for something. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
He will send prophets to bring prosperity.
Amen.
Prophets go through poverty. They go through bondage so that others can be free.
That's right.
They preach. I remember it was the beginning of my ministry. I prophesied over people, and people would get contracts, or this one would get so much. I was sitting in the United States with a business person there, having a huge house on West Palm Beach. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm prophesying. I have nothing. When I say nothing, I didn't even know how I got there in the United States. I have no, and I'm preaching. And there you just act like kind of like you have, because if you say you don't have, then you don't get invitations, okay? So you start off by really just being cunning. And I'm sitting in this huge limousine of a Mercedes, driving with a person. And the Lord whispered a name to me. I'm not even saying hello to them. I just got into the car. It was 5 minutes. It was a business person that just had to pick me up and drop me off at another hotel or at a church somewhere. And I just said, who's this name? Who's this person? And the person just went cold. And then on she went, I said, who is this person? And they pulled over the car. And they looked at me and they were white. They said, well, carry on. I said, I see this person. I see millions. I said, I saw a knife in the back. He said to me, the person you're mentioning is my partner's name, who today betrayed me for $5 to $10 million and took it from me. And then I began to prophesy and I said, this is how it'll be given back to you. Then I got into the hotel room and I said, I saw like a letterhead. I said, no, sorry, I didn't say I said later. I said, I saw a business thing, like a logo or this or that, something like that. And you must understand, this is the beginning days of our ministry and prophecy. You're just doing what this what the Lord is telling you. And the person opens up and takes out their laptop, opens it and show me, said, this is our letter that God designed today. And there's the name and the logo that I just explained.
Come on.
When a nation attacks its prophets, it attacks its prosperity.
Yes. That's right.
I think we were at our partner's retreat or something. I saw Kevin on here earlier. Where is he? Is Kevin here? And I, did I? You can just scream yes or no. Did I? Did I? did I stand in front of you and draw a logo? And I said to you, like I see, I saw that that's what God has for you. You're not going to be, you know, it's not like in the next few months, it's going to change. And I saw a logo with like hands like this. And I said, I don't know what this is, if it is. And then I said, it looks like this company or that company. And I drew the logo. And I went in with you. This is prophecy where we just draw in our partner's retreat. And then now you are with that.
Come on.
Future. I'm not speaking of something in the past. Future. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So they will come up and say we're doing it by familiar spirits. And there's a reality of that. But familiar spirits cannot tell the future.
That's right.
They can try to predict it, but they cannot speak it.
Yes.
Like it is God. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Say with him, mantles.
Mantles.
And I want those who are watching to be hungry. We have a lot of people. Like I said, we have a lot of people right now. Right now that is listening to us, we have close to probably, like I said, close to 800 people in our venues, even a bit more. And people are gathered together. There's a lot of people close to, in fact, it'll be close to 1,000.
That's
so,
right.
So I want you to understand the mantles. Say with you, sorry, say with you, familiarity.
Familiarity.
I don't want to go off track, but I want to preach to you like it is a conference that we can get into a flow. And every night it'll be more and more and more and more.
Yes.
You know, and maybe you can sit outside or something if you're really hungry. I don't know how these things work, like legal. But familiarity. The greatest enemy to a mantle. Say with you, familiarity.
Familiarity.
It is when somebody becomes common with holy things. Familiarity is where we get the word family from. And where we get the word friend from. Somebody's friend and family will always be familiar.
That's true.
That is why when Jesus came to his own hometown, the Bible says he could not even work any great miracle.
That's right.
He could only lay his hands on a few.
Yes.
And some get healed.
That's right.
But the rest said, this is the carpenter's little boy. We grew up with him. Who is he?
That's true.
Ah, it's Jesus. We know him. He's our friend. You know, we know him. So come stand here for me, John. So remember we have sanitized and everything. Eh? This is like let's say he's Jesus, or he's a man of God, or he's an anointing, and God is using him. But I know him from, we grew up in school together. And then I just haven't seen him for 5 years. Now all of a sudden he's on TV or whatever. And and I'm like, oh, but John, this is John. Who's John? You know, and he's full of fire. He wants to pray for us or do things. And I'm saying, ah, you can't. I mean, I know you when you were young and, you know, we were with your dad and this. What is it? I'm quenching the gift in him. If that could quench the gift in Jesus Christ, don't think you are more special. Familiarity is getting common. Saying, oh, but this is John, you know. He's anointed. This message is trying, listen here. This message, the enemy wants to kill in South Africa now. They want to preach there's no fatherhood. They want to preach there's no man of God on this or the, listen to me. This is the surest message that will send people to hell. The church, Jesus is coming back for a bride that is spotless. A bride can only be built up with apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers when we recognize the gift of God that he has placed. When I can recognize, but wait, there's a gift in him, there's a mantle on him. Then now I'm beginning to revere or respect holy things. And the gift of God can begin to work. But as far as I cannot perceive that, he is only to me whom I perceive him to be. I am only to you whom you perceive me to be. Or I am to you whom the news makes me out to be. Or I am to you whom your family gossips. Or this one, even in Krugersdorp, they have all this, you know, I heard that there was this Well, no, it didn't hurt. I contacted the man. There was a post and he sent all his congregation messages about us. Be careful of Leon, you know. I think this whole essay to warn the youth now of our satanic cult here. I phoned him. I said, brother, you know, I should warn the youth against you. Because you've kept them in bondage. In the conversation, I said that to a person. I said, what even makes you think to send an SMS like that? Have you phoned me? I said, you are an evangelist. And let me not say from the pulpit who it is and where his church is in Krugersdorp. I said, why are you sending this message? You could pick up the phone and call me. I know, Brother Leon, you know. I'm sorry. I'm all of a sudden Prophet Leon now. You know, because I do this. I was just tired. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. He said, hello. You know, people are very short. People are hurt. Let me tell you, people are hurt. I think I said to the person his name. And you know when they answer, hello? But they hurt. Cutting words. You see, if you're not spiritual, you cannot discern it. No, I don't care. There. So I just tell him, look. I said, he says, who is it? I said, no, it's Leon de Pria. He said, do you know me? Yes, yes. Prophet Leon, you're international. First words. Flattery is a spirit of murder. When somebody flatters you, know that they want to kill you in their hearts. I'm not speaking of honor, I'm speaking of flattery. A person that sent messages like that answering, oh no, you're this big, like a fake devil. No wonder God wants to bring deliverance to this city or to this nation. And please, I'm not saying everybody is false. There are great ministers, great churches, better churches than us, many better churches in this nation than us. I'm just a little bit biased and think that we are the most anointed, but that is just me. I'm joking, okay? I'm allowed to say that. So, but I said to the person, I said, why are you sending a message like this? No, I have to protect them. And you know the parents and you know the people. We don't know. I said, no, you know, you can just pick up the phone and phone me and ask me for coffee. I said, I've never spoken to you in my life. I said, you're up the street. Unless the body of Christ is going to come together. Now we want revival, but we cannot even connect like that. And we have to be in competition. You know, I said, send your people. They'll get on fire and go back to you. I said, if my grass is greener, if you haven't preached the real word, they're going to stay by me. There's going to be a problem. But if your word is preached fine, they'll go back to you. They'll go back to you. So now I'm coming and I say, no, but this is John. You know, and I'm just, he can be friendly with me back. But he's quenching the gift of God without knowing it. Are you guys with me? Do you know that if you go to a people that doesn't honor your gift, you are sinning against God because you are quenching the Spirit of God inside of you? Okay, so now he's saying, but I'm treating a holy thing uncommon. Common. I'm close to it. I have no reverence. I don't appreciate what God has put. You see, the anointing is pieces and parts of God. Are you guys with me? When God chooses to anoint somebody, He places a part of Him on them. He announces them to the world. He inaugurates them to their friends, their families, and the world. It's an inauguration that is coming to say, heaven has approved of this person. The anointing is upon this person. Whether you approve or disapprove, this is not government we are speaking. Government officials are voted in, voted out. When it comes to God, He's not voted in or voted out. When it comes to the people He uses, it is not based on votes in or votes out. It is whom He has elected, whom He has chosen. Are you guys with me? Or are you gefrakt back there? Are you guys with me? So, I'm treating him uncommon. Familiarity. Because why? I was his friend. Are you guys with me? Judas was Jesus, one of his best friends. When Judas kissed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the kiss he kissed him with is a phileo kiss. It's the kiss of friendship and family. It means for him to have greeted Jesus in that manner that he had to be in his most closest or most secret. He had to be where Jesus had his guard down. The only person that can betray you is the one that sees you with your guard down. The only person that can betray you is the one that you bring close and that you give the opportunity to have familiarity. Are you guys with me? So the problem now is for his friends and his family, because if God has anointed him, he sends him back to them. But if they don't receive him, because they start thinking him of back then. I have friends and people that will testify to you. They cannot put me next to the person of what I was. They cannot understand. The one person went so crazy and couldn't stand it around us because they couldn't understand how I changed like that. When the anointing comes on you, there's a transformation that takes place. It is what we call a metaschematizo, metamorphosis. It is a changing where even your face will shine with brightness. When they look at you, they no longer see you. They see the mantle of the one that is over you. Are you guys with me? So they're not upset with Jesus when he came to his hometown. They're upset because he's acting like the Son of God. And he's walking in the mantle of his Father, moving in miracles. And they say, no, this is not the one that we have known. Are you guys with me? Thanks. You can have issues. Are you guys with me? Say with him, mantles.
Mantles.
Familiarity. You see, the closeness of somebody to you gives them the opportunity to receive your mantle or to betray you and become familiar.
That's right.
90% betrays and become familiar. Jesus, when he was speaking in Matthew 16 to Peter, to his disciples, he said these words, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you are Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist." He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And they said, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Are you guys with me? Let me go there. I want to show you something. I want people to stay with us. I want people to stay online. We're going to minister now, but I need to get the word through. People don't have the word. That's why they're flocking from one church to another.
That's right.
Read me the comments. What are people saying on there? Well, I'm looking for the scripture. If there's anybody that is saying anything.
Yes, Prophet. Adlam said, "Prophet, you are on fire. We are blessed to be in this house. What a privilege to be part of Encounter."
Awesome. We have a lot of people, Lisa. We have a lot of people online. Zelda's, and I want the mantle to fall in your houses. Yes?
Yes. Zelda saying, "I don't care about people's opinion, about a carnal mind opinion."
So, go through to Matthew 16. Oh, no. Let me. It's fine. Don't go there. Let me speak it. So, Matthew 16, verse 13. So, Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." People say this, the connection of feed is breaking up, and I know we are being having problems with that again. But you're the Christ. Say with me, "You are the Christ."
You are the Christ.
Can Satan read minds? Can the devil read someone's thoughts?
No. Never.
Yes, no. I hear people saying.
Never.
Anybody that tells you the devil can read your thoughts doesn't have a clue what they're talking about.
That's right.
I don't care if they are an ex-Satanist. I don't care. Satan cannot read your thoughts. If you read the Bible with common sense, if Satan could read thoughts, you would know exactly who Jesus was.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
That's right.
He didn't know who Jesus was. Satan cannot read thoughts except for the part that you don't surrender to God and that are strongholds in your mind. And the only way that Satan can then read is because it's a demon that is thinking for you.
Yes.
And he can get information like this.
That's right.
Then in the same way, God has watchers, angels that would sit and just write it down and record your whole life. You might be in a car accident and they won't even protect you. They'll just sit there and write, "This happened with this car. This happened with," you know, they write your life. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Say with me, "Let go."
Let go.
You see, a lot of people don't want to let go of money. They don't want to let go of their ministries. We look at Pastor Kevin. People didn't know what Pastor Kevin had to do. He had his own ministry. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Those people, many of those people, were his people. In the beginning phases of his ministry, it had to be, he had the decision to say, no, I want to do my ministry. Or to say, no, I let go of my ministry to have something greater.
That's right.
I had to let go of many things. You don't get an anointing or have a ministry without letting go of things that pains and hurts you.
Amen.
You see, when you let go, and like I said, it's a bit strange for me. I don't like standing up here and preaching. I like to be with the crowd, but we just have to do it like this. When you are in ministry, like I said, Pastor Kevin let go of a ministry that he had, and that's why God will give him greater. But then I've seen ministers hold on to their little ministry. They might get 2 invites a year. Some would get... Gerard also had a ministry. Anointed. I mean, from when did you start? 16 or when? When did you start? Huh? 15. What are these people doing? You know, like 15. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And he was getting invites and he was preaching. You know? When he came to me, he gave up his ministry. He let it go. Trust me, it's not easy.
That's right.
Because it's everything you have wanted. But it is your perception of what you think God has for you. Yet he might have better for you. Yes. And until you let go, you might not see as better and you think that is God's plan. And when you let go, that is when deliverance comes in that area.
That's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I was preaching on the internet. I said, you know, they say there's a way that they catch monkeys. They take a coconut. One of the ways, hunters would take a coconut and they would put a hole into it to put a rope through to hang it, and another hole in it that is just big enough for a monkey's hand to get in. And then they'll put nuts inside. So when a monkey would put his hand inside, they grab the nuts and they try to pull out their hand and they can't because it's a fist. If they would let go of the nuts, their hand would get out. Are you guys with me? Is everything good? Okay. So unless he lets go, if he would just let go of the nuts in the coconut, he can just pull out his hand. But because he's not letting go, he cannot let it go. And then the hunter comes, doesn't even have to have a weapon. Just take the monkey, and he has him, simply because he doesn't want to let go. In Pharaoh's house, Joseph was put in charge of everything. The Bible says Pharaoh let go of everything and put it in the hands of Joseph.
That's
under
right.
The management of Joseph.
Yes.
Except one thing. His wife.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, sorry, not Pharaoh. Potiphar. Sorry. Potiphar's wife. Potiphar had everything in his house. He put under the hands of Joseph. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And the one thing that he did not put under the hands of Joseph. The Bible says everything was under the control of Joseph. Except Potiphar's wife.
That's right.
And the one thing that Potiphar did not let go was the one thing that had devil inside.
Yes.
Many times Christians battle with deliverance in an area they refuse to let go and let God in.
That's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Either people look dead tonight. I think they're upset because I'm so long. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
You can say with me familiarity.
Familiarity.
So the closeness that you get to somebody, when somebody comes close to you, give them the opportunity to have familiarity. I want to get, like I said, I want to minister and I want to get into this message, but tomorrow I want to minister to people, and this message has so much revelation. And I'm going to maybe do it tomorrow. Now let me just get into maybe just a little bit of it. What does a mantle mean? Or what does a mantle look like? Do you guys have like cloths or something that we used to throw on people? Like the big ones. Like I said, it's really an in-depth message. And I think I'm going to minister on it tomorrow night. I just want to start off with it, with mantles. And then I want to minister to you. So if you had a mantle in those days, it was two things, the scholars will tell you. It was either something that was around somebody like this, or it would be something bigger, like even a cloak.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
That's right.
Or it would be a multifunction cloak. Now, again, I'm not a theologian, so I'm not getting into every little detail. I'm telling you what I know, I'm not getting into any detail. This is exhortation preaching. So, or they will take this mantle and it will become a protection and a covering for any weather conditions. Put it over their face, they'll put it over their heads, or they'll take it like this. Sometimes they'll bind it like this around them. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Sometimes it is a cloak that hangs long over them. That is why the Bible says that Elijah had to pick up his mantle. He says he girded up his loins. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
He girded up his loins and then he began to run and overtook Ahab.
That's right.
But what did he do? He picked up his mantle so that he could run far.
Yes.
Now, a mantle is a covering. Many times it would cover a person. Sometimes they would have clothes underneath it on. Sometimes they would not have clothes on. They'll just have a mantle on.
That's right.
So when a mantle is received, before somebody can receive a mantle, there are steps that I'm going to get into tomorrow night. One of them is this. Say with me. Put off the old and take on the new.
And take on the new.
For a mantle to be received, you have to be able to take off the old and put on the new. For example, let's go to 1 Kings. Let me start off with this. Let's go to 1 Kings 19 verse 21. And I'm going to start off with this and then carry on tomorrow night. If you are here, please carry on watching it. But I want to minister to those that are here, those that are on Zoom. And they're going to minister in Centurion as well. And they can actually go as they feel led, meaning there might be some time situation there. So they can listen to this. We're almost finished. And then Pastor Martin is going to minister to those in Centurion that is watching now. Or I also told them he can do as he feels led, however the situation demands. Now listen. Go through 1 Kings 19 verse 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen. Let's read from the beginning. Where's the beginning? Go through verse 15. Let's see what is happening there. Okay, next verse. Next verse. Next. Where are we now? Next. There we go. Okay. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. Say with me, plowing. Say with me, found.
Found.
It means that, you see, when the anointing searches you out, it begins to locate you and it finds you. But you have to do something for that anointing to locate you.
That's right.
Elisha was busy plowing. Plowing means he was working hard.
Yes.
The anointing never comes upon anyone that is lazy.
That's right.
He was praying. The word plowing means to pray. Are you guys with me?
Come on.
He was fasting. It means to break up your fellow ground.
Yes.
It speaks of fasting as well, which means Elisha, in a symbolic language, was working hard. He had dirt all over him. He knew what it was to get his hands dirty, to work from morning to night.
That's right.
He was praying. He was fasting. The anointing finds somebody that is not lazy, and it will rest upon them.
Yes.
The anointing will never rest upon somebody that is lazy. I said to our leadership or something like that, I said, you know, I don't understand this generation. I find people, some people say I work them too hard. Others say, you know, and I'm thinking, I had to work from the age of 13. I had to work. There was no Saturdays that I have off. I worked from morning to night. You know, now people are like, I'm working too hard. You don't have the luxury. In the United States, maybe. Bless the United States. They have stimulus checks. How much is our stimulus check? Or the 10 people that got it? It was $15. Hey? $15. Sorry? They got the email, not the payment. No, but 10 people got it, I think. It was in the news. 10 people got it. $15. You don't have the luxury to sit around on your backside watching TV and just not lazing. The anointing will, you can have the greatest prophecies ever. God might have the greatest mantle planned for you.
Come on.
You will never get there.
Yes.
He's looking for somebody that can get their face in the ground and work until it feels like they are dying. So
that's
hard,
right?
They are working. The Apostle Paul says, we are working so hard in labors. He says, he went in shipwrecks. He was in the deep. He was working so hard that he could be to a place where it was like he had no energy or strength in him. Working in the kingdom of God. I said to people, a lot of business people, so you can say, I remember people said, I just work on a Sunday. Let's volunteer for me. Or let's come into the office just for 3 months. After 3 months, we'll talk. I don't care what you have done. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Because for me, now I rested for the first time in this month. 1 month. And for the church to carry on, it is successful. In a month, if I'm not there.
Amen.
And then I took the main guys, like when I say main, Pastor Martin that preaches a lot, Pastor Chris, I took them, and it was still going. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
They're still being preached. We raised up 7-8 people that can preach.
That's
that
right.
Can preach to you. Under an anointing. There are pastors that can't take holiday because they have no one to preach for them.
That's
then
right.
You're not having the anointing because there's no importation. Importation is by the will of God.
Yes.
Go with me 2 verses back. Listen to this. One verse back. Oh, sorry, verse 17. Sorry, verse 17. Say with you, by the will of God.
By the will
of
God.
A mantle is by the will of God. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And you'll see earlier how God also told Elijah, go and find Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and anoint him as a prophet in your place. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Which means that God had to find somebody that is getting themselves dirty, that is working hard, that is praying and fasting. And he said, that one I want to anoint in the place of Elijah. In Elijah's office.
Come on.
And all Elisha knew was working hard. Plus he was wealthy, but he was working hard. And when he did it, let's go to verse 17. It shall be that, verse 19. Listen to this. So he departed from there, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. So it is like this. John, just come again. Plow for us, like plow like this. Okay. And this is not racism or anything. I can put a white mantle so you if I want or whatever. Okay. In America, they'll now bring the cotton fields up and they go on a race war. Okay, so so you're plowing. It means you bend down. You're plowing and you have oxen that is pulling. Obviously, it's hard work. In those days when you would do it, the dirt would be kicking into your face, which means he was dirty, full of dirt. Anybody that would see him as a worker, not as the next prophet in line. But Elijah, when he came past him, he found Elisha. Even as I'm standing here, do you know what's happening now? I'm in a vision that I had 2 weeks ago. So, you see, when you're a prophet, you know how to take deja vu and manipulate it and stay in it. So don't go around and listen to these people that are saying prophecies are fake. It's because they can't do it. I had a prophet. Same, John is still bowing. Okay, stand. So I'll get you now. I had a prophet, a massive, genuine prophet. When they saw I began to prophesy, dates and so on, they said, they began to tell other people, there's no way. He's faking it. Then they said, I go into the crowd and I get information. Don't you think anybody even here would say, Imagine I get information from you, die there, and then I come and fake it. And someone would have risen up. But because jealousy, where because they cannot do it, they cannot celebrate somebody else. I celebrate the gifts. If Pastor Dion is on this pulpit, I cannot move in the gift of healing like he is. And I celebrate that because it completes the ministry. Are you guys with me? The bride can only be matured when there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not a prophet only, or not a pastor only. You have to have a myriad of gifts that completes importation. Are you guys with me? That completes it. So they said, no. Just because they can't, it is impossible for others to do it. Now Elijah comes. As he's plowing, I'm standing in a vision that I had 2 weeks ago. Because as he's plowing and I'm having the mantle, yeah, I'm having a vision. Not a vision, a vision that I had. And those things we teach you in the prophetic university. So I'm in a deja vu now. And I'm extending it. And I'm making it happen. Why? Because a deja vu is a moment of the future that you're seeing. Or that you've seen before, your spirit has been there. Your body is just catching up with what your spirit has seen. Whether it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Or your body is catching up where your spirit has been. What God has shown you. And you simply feel like, I've been here before. So when I saw this, when I had a vision of this, and as I say, like I'm standing, mantles will fall in this whole place. We were just standing here, but mantles, we were here in the Touch of God conference. We were preaching. I think my wife was there or here. I was there. Okay, so Jesus was over her, not over me. While I'm preaching the one night about the physical manifestation of Christ, I say to people in your houses, I pray that a physical manifestation, whether Jesus will come and walk in there and greet you, or you will have a vision of his, there'll be a physical manifestation of his Shekinah. While we're praying and I'm preaching that, they take a photo, and right here was the, now you can say whatever you want, you know. Those who are saying it, even the theologians, they've never worked one miracle in their life. They wouldn't know a devil if it sits next to them. They wouldn't know God if it sits next to them on the other side. So the guys take a photo, and right here is the face of Christ manifested. It's on our Facebook. You see, why is it on a photo and not in like here? It's the dimension and level of going through a dimension. A camera works with photizo, light particles it sends, and it bounces back, and an image is being created. So cameras can pick up the spiritual realm, when in the natural we cannot see it with our own naked eye. It is light particles that go, and it will clash, for example, with something, and there'll be a manifestation. It is normal, these things. If they manipulate that, then God be with them. I never knew. They posted it in the middle of the service. And somebody only brought it to our attention the day thereafter. While I was praying, she was on her knees here. I was on my knees there. It was like a holy moment. And here the face of Christ is right here. Benny Hinn, how the revival broke out in his church. He had OCC. So OCC. While he was preaching on the wall, the face of Christ began to appear on a wall. For 6 months, it appeared. And revival broke out. People flew in from all over. In fact, there's still video clips of it on YouTube, right, as we speak. You can still see it. And where they would stand, they would look at the wall, and you would see the face of Christ. And in fact, I want to go look at that, because it might be the same as this face. Like the way it looks. And please, it's not white or black or anything, okay? It is like all of this nonsense doctrine everybody's in now. It's the culture where Christ comes from. He was born on the soil of Africa. And big face here. There's a thing called signs. God gives signs to tell you he's with you and to mark what is his and what is genuine. It says, preach the word and signs will follow you to validate you. Jesus was validated, approved by signs, wonders, and miracles. So having in Centurion, our building shaken physically like this, shaken, while everybody sitting in the building sees the building shaken. And we still have people backsliding after that. The acts of God never changes a person. It's the ways of God that changes a person. The power of God never changes a person. It's the presence of God. Are you guys with me? That is why you can have great churches with people with gifts, but there's no presence. It's the presence and the glory that changes a heart. It's gifts that just come for, people just come for entertainment. So like I said, as I'm standing and I'm having a vision of what is happening, so I know what will happen, the conference, so I know exactly what I'm doing is the will of God. Because my life is by divine design. I said to somebody, I saw something happening this year. I can't remember what it was. If it was something, just, you know, it's like God would just show me, you'll be there, or this thing will happen, or that will happen. 5 years ago, and then all of a sudden it happens. So the first time my wife preached, I think was here while I was away. And, you know, people think, we want to preach, they think. Or they think that we just can't wait to get to this pulpit. Take this mic, and then we talk again. You'll be tested in every area. Are you guys with me? So she never wanted to preach ever in her life. In a terms of, she knows she won, but it was not something she wanted to do or felt she was ready to do. So I also explained to people last week, if I didn't go away, God would not force, if he didn't force me to go away, me letting go, people wouldn't be trained up. So in business, in ministry, everything, sometimes you need to learn to let go. Many pastors and ministers, they want to be the only one that's preaching. They want to have their hands on everything. It's called micromanaging. And the surest way to keep your things small, ministry or business, is to micromanage. It's one of the first rules. If you micromanage somebody because you're not giving them room to grow. So it was many years ago, I think I told her, maybe when we just got married, I said to her, I think she'll preach by 30 or something like that. And, you know, obviously I can miss her or so, but one thing I could remember clearly, it was by that age, maybe she just looks older than what she is, but not in a bad way. I'm speaking of a spiritual way. I don't want to get into trouble now. Okay, but anyway, the vision that I had and God, and right now, my ministry can end now if I lie to you. The vision that I had back then, that's why people think I became a prophet when I met Prophet Angel. No man can make another man a prophet. They can train and sharpen, but no man can make another man a prophet. And then obviously there's now people going around and saying, unless you have this exact encounter happening with you, you are not a prophet. It's nonsense. There are five ways God makes prophets in the Old Testament. And I've taught on it, but I remember this vision. On this TV, as it is now, the angle that it is now. I saw her in a vision standing like this behind a pulpit, preaching with this blue screen here. And I saw the stage, it was a little bit bigger, like this, maybe a little bit zoomed out. But the blue, so when I was away, and I think she was preaching here, I think so. And I realized, but that's a vision I had 10 years ago. I said to, you know, Pastor Chris and them were, now how do we see if the anointing is real or not? If this thing is genuine? They were at my house when I didn't have even furniture. You know, we are grateful for anything that happens in our life. We are not spoiled. We had nothing at that time. And I remember my greatest dream was to have them in ministry with me. They were the ones who supported me financially. Now I'm the one who carries them financially. We are doing it together, but you understand what I mean. The anointing. Sow into an anointing. The person doesn't have to have mansions. Remember the TV show prophesied over us and said we'll have planes and mansions and everything. And I received that in a full measure. But, you know, there's, like I said, there's two things that we're accurate in. We don't push people over and they prophesied our future. Okay, so, but anyway, so, I was thinking, hey, no, that was something else. No, so I was thinking as they are raised up, that was my only dream. Not my only dream, but it was a dream that I had. They were the ones supporting me financially. And I have it still in a note in my phone of the date of the income that we received. And it was like 30,000 rand. That was it, 35,000 after a year in full-time ministry, on my own ministry. That was our income. Marie's tithe was like 8,000 rand, probably a double tithe. You know, if she's here, it's okay, but now she gives much more. And but those were the monies that we lived off. So no man makes another man a prophet. You are born a prophet. You then discover whether you are one or not. Like I said, I had the vision 10 years ago where I saw how she was doing and what she was, when she was kind of like starting to preach. And then it will be God. It will not be forced. Are you guys with me? It will be God forcing me out so that He can develop others. On purpose, because I would I want to hold on to it and make it, keep it small. Sit with Him, mantles. So that's what I'm saying. When I stand here and I have a vision, or I remember the vision that I had about a week or 2 weeks ago, and in the spirit it's like this. You know, prophets, if any prophet is watching me, or any, you will know this, you don't know the difference between dreaming or reality. If you've ever felt like that, it's a sign of the prophetic on your life. So if you have to think, did I dream that or did I? I can't remember now. Did I dream this or did I? Was it real? It's a life of a prophet. I'll stand here and I'll be like, I don't know if I dreamt this or, but I was here. Was it a dream? Was it real? You don't know. Okay, so he's plowing. So that means we're in the right direction. So he's plowing, and as he's plowing, Elijah came. The Bible says Elijah found him. Looked at him, saw somebody with dirt on him, and put a holy mantle on somebody that was dirty, plowing in the dirt. So a holy mantle falls on somebody that is dirty with work, hard work, praying, fasting. A holy mantle. But then the mantle doesn't reside on him. Elisha takes the mantle. You can stand up. So Elisha takes the mantle, gives it back to Elijah. So for Elijah to throw the mantle in Elisha, there was something that the scripture doesn't tell you that is happening. That Elijah exposed himself. I don't know if I have the right crowd here. Or on Zoom, if the guys can, you know. You see, a mantle was there to cover someone's loins. It was there to cover somebody's naked body in many instances. It was also there to protect them against weather. So when Elijah would take the mantle, now please, I'm not speaking of perversion or anything, and all those morons, that what Paul calls him, that would say these things, it's because they're thinking it in their heart. Okay? So somebody said, do you come in? I need an answer. You need to report to me now as of like, do you come into my bedroom and see under my covers? Because you now say you are a prophet, and you do. I said, I don't want to see under your covers, number one. Don't think that highly of yourself. And I said, number two, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to say no or yes? Because I can tell you the truth or what you want me to say. I can tell you the truth, yes. Do I want to? No. So Elijah, when he took the mantle off him and he put it on Elisha, there was a moment of exposure, a moment where he let his guard down. a moment where he can hurt him. Are you guys with me? And then Elisha give him the mantle back. Because you see, your mantle is your protection, your covering. If you give your mantle to somebody, you're giving your protection and your covering away. That is why Elijah's mantle fell when he was going to heaven. Because if he gave his mantle fully there and not took it back, his protection and covering would be gone. It was the mantle that protected him. Even in the cave, the Bible says he wrapped his head in the mantle. And then the voice of the Lord spoke to him. When he wrapped himself in spiritual authority. As long as you stay under spiritual authority, as long as you stay under a covering, that's saying that is a person, that's the mantle that God has sent. I'm keeping myself submissive under them. As long as you do it, the voice of God will speak to you. God doesn't violate his own system. He doesn't short circuit his own system. I don't go to my receptionist and gossip about my COO. Are you guys with me? But we think for some reason God would do it. He speaks to his COO about his receptionist. Even though his receptionist might treat him better than his COO. By virtue of placement, God speaks. Not intimacy. Okay. God speaks to people on the basis of their responsibility and their placement. I'm going to say something that maybe I must or must not, but I won't mention details. When you were where you were, he was given a huge responsibility, a very big responsibility. And I think he told me, if I can remember correctly, that you passed out and you had a vision or something like, or you had a vision, you didn't know what happened, and you came back and you saw something happening, the same what I saw happening. But it was only once you were given the responsibility. So God won't speak to you like he speaks to me. By virtue of responsibility. So how do you increase the voice of God? Increasing your responsibility. Taking responsibility. Becoming a leader. Are you guys with me? God will begin to speak to you with who is in your sphere. If you're a business person, he'll speak to you about your people. So Elisha gives the mantle back to Elijah. This was the first mantle to serve. Then it says these words. That he broke and burnt everything that was behind him. And he followed Elijah. He ran after. Say with me, ran after. Elijah. It was fast. Meaning he saw somebody with the anointing and he ran after them. We were mocked for running after generals. If Benny Hinn would be in town, I was there. Are you guys with me? I'd be mocked by my friends who doesn't have an anointing now. Because why? You run after the anointing. But before Elisha finished, before Elisha followed him, he said, please, let me go say goodbye to my parents. And Elijah said to him, what have I to do with you? I'm not the one who called you. Go just do whatever, go leave. I'm not the one who God called you. If Pastor Chris has to leave, he can leave. It's not my calling. God called him. Are you guys with me? So Elijah said, first of all, what have I to do with you? So there's no favors in this thing. Don't try to like answer to me or this. I'm explaining to you guys how mantles work. Is it okay? Please, because this message is being attacked in South Africa, all around the world, in the United States. They want to attack fatherhood. They want to attack because the anointing comes from the top. It doesn't work with democracy. Never. I saw pastors today that betrayed us very bad, very, very bad. A young pastor couple that betrayed us very bad. They did us a lot of damage. And I, many years ago, and I looked and I saw a live stream. I thought, dear God, how I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy to look like that. What you do comes back. You know, Pastor Chris, and then they're like, oh, like, they want to fire this one, hire this one. hit this one. I tell them, when I say hit, please not. Apparently, we hit somebody in the office, apparently. But, you know, I try to teach them all the time. I try to, literally, that's what one of them said, that Chris hit them, and I don't know, I was there and whatever. So, I try to tell them, what goes around comes around. God is the reward. God will reward them, don't worry. You keep pure with what you're doing. Even the way you respond, God will. I have seen every single one of my enemies, not everyone, but I would say 90%, get what they deserve. So he said, Elijah says, what have I to do with you? I haven't called you. And then he burnt all the stuff, his business, he burnt everything, and he followed God. He followed Elijah, which was God. Are you guys with me? For him, it was the anointing. He ran after the anointing. And then, say with me, we'll get into the keys tomorrow. Just say with me one thing. Say with me, perception. Elijah said to Elisha, what do you want? Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said to him, you have asked for a hard thing. Meaning you don't know what you are asking. There's a price that comes with this. And you've already served 10 years. There's a price that is coming with this. He said, when you see me, when I'm taken from you and lifted up, it shall be so for you. But when you do not see me, it will not be so for you. But he's speaking of a spiritual sight, a spiritual perception. And then Elijah was taken up and he said, my father, it was the first time Elisha called Elijah his father. Because his perception changed. You see, they want to hit the doctrine of fatherhood. Because the devil knows the moment you accept and understand fatherhood is the moment importation takes place. It's the moment there's a transference of a mantle that takes place. A business or an organization cannot import. It is a kingdom, a dynasty that can import. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a dynasty. Dynasty comes from the word dunamis, power. Power, dynasty is, if you look at the royal family, if you look at the royal family, you only marry into royalty as far as I know, except for the one, you keep the blood royal. And they keep a dynasty in the family. The sharp ones would understand. If you don't understand, go home. If you still don't understand, please get some educated, you know. It's a dynasty. Power, dunamis, is in dynasty. Power is there when you understand fatherhood. He said to Elisha, when you see me, when you can still have a spiritual perception about me and celebrate me, when I am lifted, when you can stay with a man of God, with your pastor, your mentor, your spiritual father, during a winter and a summer, a putting down and a lifting up, you will qualify for the mantle. Are you guys with me? I'm going to stop. I can preach 12 hours. I can really. And you know what this is, with no preparation. But say with me, spiritual preparation. Say with me, spiritual perception.
Spiritual perception.
Elisha had to know that he had to follow Elijah. You see, Joshua had to accept to be the second before he can become the first. A lot of people don't want to be a second man, but they want to be the first man of something small. Are you guys with me? Like, you will need to know, are you called to thousands? Or are you the one, or are you someone that is called to the one who is called to thousands? If Elisha thought he was the one called to thousands, he would have nothing. But because he knew he was called to the one who is called to thousands, he eventually spoke to thousands. And when the mantle came on him, they looked at him and they said, the spirit of Elijah is resting upon you. When they looked at him, he looked physically like Elijah. Are you guys with me? When Jesus, listen here, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, and they said, listen here, to whom does the tithe, to whom do you pay tax? And he says, bring me a coin. He says, whose face is on here? Caesar's face. So they were asking also about the tithe and the tax, trying to catch him out, trying to get him to break the laws of the governor at that time. He says, whose face is on here? They said, Caesar's. They said, give to Caesar who's Caesar's, but give to God who's God's. What do people see on you? That's the one where you belong to. If they look at you and they see, but wait, it's like when they look at you, they can see, but you are of encounter here.
Come on.
Or you are meta schematizo.
Yes.
So in an anointing. That when they look, they say, but the spirit of Elijah's upon your life.
Yes.
When Jesus John the Baptist said to Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, they say you are Elijah. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are a Jeremiah. Why? The anointing of them were on Jesus. When they looked at him, they physically thought that was John the Baptist.
That's right.
When they looked at John the Baptist, they said the spirit and power of Elijah is resting upon him. Yet they had no reference point for Elijah. But when he came walking, something just told them, this is Elijah. This is not John the Baptist. It meant that he belonged. Listen here. When people can look at you and they can begin to see the mantle that you're submitting under, it means you're ready for that mantle to sit on you and for impartation.
That's right. Yes.
That is why the Bible says that there were other sons of the prophets.
Yes.
And Elisha.
That's right.
Other sons and Elisha. Other prophets and Moses.
Yes.
All my prophets, I speak to them in a vision and a dream. But when it comes to Moses, he says, all the other prophets, God is saying, I speak to them in a vision and a dream. But Moses, I speak face to face.
That's right.
So you have prophets and you had Moses. You had other sons and you had Elijah.
Yes.
What is the difference? Elisha followed one voice. He stuck to one person when the other sons told him, start your own ministry.
That's right.
Leave. Your master's going to be taken away today. Leave. Come, don't you know he's going to be taken? They even forensically prophesied to Elisha. They said, do you know your master will be taken to heaven today? How do they know that? They're sons of the prophets.
Yes.
And Elisha said, shut up. And he carried on moving.
That's right.
And Elijah said to him, stay here. And Elisha said, as long as the soul, as the Lord lives, and my soul lives, and your soul lives, I'll follow you.
That's right.
I'll never leave you. And he went from one city and he got massive ministry opportunities. You see, we don't read the Bible like that. Every city they stopped almost, there were schools of prophets.
Yes.
Elijah was teaching there with Elisha, his son, next to him. And people were coming to Elisha and saying, you know, you have your own ministry, stay with us, preach, teach. And he said, I'm not leaving. Right now, like I said, people can come to Martin and say, you're so much more anointed than Leon. You can have your own church. Do you know when I preached in Umhlanga, people were coming to me and say, you know, they were saying to me, so the senior pastor was on holiday. They were sending me messages, sending the senior pastor messages saying, oh no, you don't have to come back. I'm telling you, Leon can stay. Like, it, you know, he's got this. If I would get a big head in that moment, my ministry would be gone. It's a trap of the enemy.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
The enemy will come and flatter. He will. How does he take you out of your goal and focus? He gives you another goal, another focus.
That's right.
How does he remove a voice from your life? He gives you another voice.
Yes.
How does he remove your dream? He presents to you another dream.
Yes.
He distracts you. He brings a decoy.
That's right.
And we're just starting off, and I'm going to pray for everyone here tonight. Listen, the devil, a message that is coming into South Africa is to cut people from the anointing of a mantle that they can receive.
That's right.
Because the devil knows if he can remove the church and for the anointing to be imparted, he will remove the ability of power. So what does he do? Let's cut the divine relationship. When God places a prophet in a city, in a region, there's an opportunity for a divine relationship. I've seen people close to me and they're never blessed. Then I've seen other people close to me, they're more blessed than me. There's some people that can catch from you and others they just can't. Familiarity.
Yes.
They are still treating things like common, holy things. What do you do? What have I to do with it? It's not me who called you.
That's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
When we learn to handle holy things, you see, being called of God. And I remember sitting and listening to somebody preach, and I was sitting in just 18 years old, dreaming one day of having my ministry. The day that dream started was the day my down was the day I was beginning to be attacked, and it never stopped. Then I remember I was prophesied in front of thousands. I was about 19 or so. Exactly what I will do and what I will be doing today. The next day, all hell break loose. Because you are then announced to the world. You are announced to the devil. And the devil knows. So a lot of people are quick to want prophecy. If you get a prophecy, the devil knows that secret now.
That's right.
Are you guys with him?
Yes.
Say with him, mantles.
Mantles.
I said, we're going to carry on tomorrow, but I want to pray for many that are here. I want to pray for those who are live with us here. Pastor Martin's going to pray for those who are in Centurion. Go there to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. And please, I'm just relaxing tonight. When I say relaxing, I'm I'm learning to minister in the rest. If I was, like I said, Pastor Martin, them, and they're doing it out of passion, Pastor Chris, he's fit, but Pastor Martin isn't fit. I'm not fit. They can run and preach. They're tired after an hour. I can preach for 12 hours and I'm not tired.
Yes.
It's called maturity. Okay? It doesn't mean that they're immature. It just means like that, yeah. So I want mantles to fall. I want the glory of God to come in. And we're going to get more into, like I said, I haven't even touched on 5% of when it comes to mantles. When you are called to a person or to a mantle, it is spiritual perception that will make you receive from that person. But it is when you know, I'm here called to make things easier for this person. And when you understand your place and your time, God will take you into your dream and your place.
That's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
The moment that Elisha was called to Elijah, before that, Elijah washed his own feet and his own hands. After that, Elijah no longer had to worry about washing his own feet or his own hands.
Yes, that's right.
I don't want you to wash my feet. I washed my leader's feet. But think of it. Elijah had to do that. And then he began to get a successor. And then that successor began to do that for him for 10 years so that he could operate in anointing or do what he is supposed to do. The reason men of God and people can't do what they're supposed to do because they don't have people in place, they haven't raised up people, or they are battling, there's distractions and they cannot focus on what they are supposed to be doing. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
The biggest key to failure is broken focus. The greatest thing, most people that never attain a success is because of broken failure. It's because of broken focus. Their focus have been shifted. The enemy is distracting them. No money, maybe. Or maybe a different goal. Maybe a different dream. Maybe friends are phoning. Remember, say with your friends.
Friends.
Say family.
Family.
Familiarity.
Familiarity.
They will always treat you like common. Are you guys with me? I know it is a hard message to swallow, and theologians can probably kill me because of this. But again, I don't care, because it's one thing to preach accurate. It's another thing to have experience and demonstration.
That's right.
So when they did the TV show about us, I thought, okay, but where's your miracles? No, Jesus does it. Oh, okay, where's the miracles that he's doing then in your service if Jesus does it? Where is he? A ministry that is anointed must be attacked.
That's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Jesus said, I must go to the cross. I must go and die. And Peter said, no, Lord, far be it from you. Why did Peter say that? Because three verses before, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
And Peter was in this inner circle with Jesus. He was just with his disciples. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And he shared with them a secret that is the Christ. Peter recognized and got revelation from heaven that is the Christ.
That's right.
When Peter said it, Peter had open doors in his life.
Come
and
on.
When he said that, he was in the inner circle with Jesus.
Yes.
And the devil heard it because the devil wasn't Peter.
Come on.
So if I'm John, come and stand here. So listen, let me tell you a secret. And don't listen to any ex-Satanists or anything. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not prophets. I don't care if you worshipped 100 satanic gods. It doesn't make you, because the people use that as leverage, as credibility. Anyway, okay. I wonder how many of those gods are still left to be. Wonder how the gods they're still serving. So, if I'm standing here, John is standing here, my wife is standing here, and Gerard is here, and we're close to one another, and you know, if I tell them, you know, next week we're going to build a massive church, you know, we have like 20 million or 40 million. Apparently Centurion will be 45 million, so let's say 45 million. That is what told me. 45 million, okay? And you know what? With the lockdown didn't happen, we were kind of like almost halfway there, right? So, but please don't stop giving, because that will determine the revival in your families and in this nation. That church and this one in Krugersdorp. So look, if I tell them, you know, next week we're going to build this church, if they have no open doors in their life, the devil cannot hear even what I'm saying. He cannot. But if I tell them, you know, next week we're gonna do this, and the devil somewhere still has a place in his heart, the devil hears the secret now. He says, that's what they want to do. And then three verses later, in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, he got a revelation. And then the Bible says they were walking. And, you know, with one another, they were walking. And then Peter said to him, let me read it to you. Then he commanded, so he told him that, the revelation. Then he said, then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Why? Because the devil isn't a little thing that is hanging here and can overhear your meetings. Unless if you have a witch close by and they have put a thing in your house, that's another thing for another day. Are you guys with me? But listen, why would Jesus tell them, don't go tell anybody that I'm Jesus the Christ? After he says, Peter, you got the revelation. Don't go tell anyone that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 21 says this, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that what he must go do in Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So Jesus began to sit with his disciples, shared with them secrets of the future, said to them, you know, I have to get killed. I have to go suffer. This is what is going to happen. In the meantime, one of his disciples around him had the devil inside of them, hearing the secrets. And it says, verse 22, listen to this. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He just suddenly felt he was at a place to correct Jesus now. Devil of familiarity. Are you guys with me? He suddenly felt he was very close now. He can now correct him. Correct him. Far be it from you. We'll finish this now. We're going to pray for people just now. It's still before curfew. Is it? We still have time, eh? If you are getting tired, what will you do if there's no church in South Africa? So let's just make the best of it. Then Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Far be it from you. This shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned aside and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are mindful." Say with me, mindful. Oh, sorry, you are not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of man. Where does the devil come in? Into his mind. Are you guys with me? When somebody has open doors in their mind, and I can see it by looking at a person, within 1 second, whether the devil has them or not, whether they are monitoring spirit or not. How many have I had of that? So Peter was a monitoring spirit. He was close to Jesus. The devil had his mind. And the devil monitored what Jesus was saying, waiting to find out what is happening. And then Jesus said, "You are Satan, get behind me." And then the devil knew exactly, okay, he is going to go to Jerusalem. This and this and this. Are you guys with me? These are spiritual things. The natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. Because, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, put on the screen. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Next verse, are you guys with me? But he who is spiritual, all things, we are spiritual in all things. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. But the spiritual cannot discern, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. Natural people won't understand what I'm talking now. It'll even switch off the channel. They are unable to understand it. At Encounter, you'll be able to understand it. If not yet, you will soon. Are you guys with me? But this is how things work. You know how many times people were sent after us? I can tell you exactly how many people were sent to me. All they need to do is get close to me like this. Inside. And then things can be, they can hear, this is the plan. And they don't even know. But there's a monitoring spirit there. And then all of a sudden what you've spoken in closed doors, somebody knows that has no connection. Are you guys with me? If a prophet can hear what the king is saying in his bedroom, the devil can copy that and hear what somebody's saying in their bedroom. But they need that tactic. Are you guys with me? Thanks, you can have your seats. Okay, so I hope that is okay. Sit with me, mantles. I just got into that. I want to minister to you. I want this week, and we're going to, like I said, from tomorrow night, we're going to have Pastor Vlad, and me and him will float together. Then it's going to be him fully, and like I said, we're going to float till Wednesday. It is going to be powerful. I want you to not miss it. Those on live stream, in Zoom, he has a massive gift of deliverance on his life, and we're setting up connections. I think that he can also see everyone there. Hey, so it's going to be powerful. But one thing I'm praying, and we're going to pray now for everyone, even those who are watching on Zoom and on live stream, for mantles to fall on you. So I want us to worship him, because I'm going to minister first to those who are here, and then I'm going to get to those who are on the screen, and those who are in Zoom. And we're going to pray for you, but I want us to, let's worship him. Let's begin to worship him. Let's stand to our feet, and let's worship him. Let's worship him.